Biofilm's response to antibiotic use. Now let's get to the second way that biofilm-producing species are resistant: their resistance to the use of antibiotics. If you remember the history lesson in the first section, you understand when and how Lyme was discovered. The point of that section was to show the time period in which Lyme was discovered, which dictated the use of antibiotics in its treatment. Many allopathic doctors are still trained with the mentality, bacterial infection equals antibiotics. There's just one problem. Lyme, after 2 weeks of initial infection, finds its way to its friends and joins and contributes to biofilms. This renders antibiotics completely ineffective in eradicating chronic Lyme disease, and every biofilm-producing species for that matter. Not only are antibiotics completely ineffective in eradicating chronic Lyme disease, but they actually cause much brain and body damage. I'll discuss the damage later on, and here, discuss how resistant biofilm species are to antibiotics. I get pushback every time I talk about the ineffectiveness of antibiotics in the treatment of Lyme disease and other biofilm-producing chronic diseases. To be honest, I just don't get it. Not only have we shown it through the treatment of individuals suffering from chronic Lyme at our facility, but the large majority of research also demonstrates this to be true, because of the inherent pushback I may get from my opinions in this book. I've decided it's best to include some of the quantitative research that I've done that led me to this conclusion, and you can read it for yourself. Antibiotics are completely ineffective at eradicating any biofilm-producing infection, including chronic Lyme. Let me repeat that. Antibiotics are completely ineffective at eradicating any biofilm-producing infection, including chronic Lyme. Here's the research. Direct observations have clearly shown that biofilm bacteria predominate, numerically and metabolically, in virtually all nutrient-sufficient ecosystems. Therefore, the sessile biofilm organisms predominate in most of the environmental, industrial, and medical problems and processes of interest to microbiologists. If biofilm bacteria were simply planktonic cells that had adhered to a surface, this revelation would be unimportant. But they are demonstrably and profoundly different. We first noted that biofilm cells are at least 500 times more resistant to antibacterial agents, antibiotics. Formation of biofilm communities turned out to be one of the main survival strategies of bacteria in their ecological niche. Bacteria in attached condition in biofilm are protected from the environmental damaging factors and effects of antibacterial substances, antibiotics, in the environment and host organism during infection. Biofilms have been shown to be pathogenic factors responsible for chronization of infectious process. The data are presented illustrating ubiquitous nature of biofilms, their structural and functional characteristics, and the modern methods for the study of microbial communities. The discussion is focused on the role of biofilms in chronization of infectious process, enhanced resistance of biofilm organisms to antibiotics, and its underlying mechanisms. Bacteria survive in nature by forming biofilms on surfaces, and probably most, if not all, bacteria and fungi are capable of forming biofilms. A biofilm is a structured consortium of bacteria embedded in a self-produced polymer matrix consisting of polysaccharide, protein, and extracellular DNA. Bacterial biofilms are resistant to antibiotics, disinfectant chemicals, and to phagocytosis, macrophages' way of killing invading pathogens, and other components of the innate and adaptive inflammatory defense system of the body. It is known, for example, that persistence of staphylococcal infections related to foreign bodies is due to biofilm formation. Likewise, chronic Pseudomonas aeruginosa lung infections in cystic fibrosis patients are caused by biofilm-growing mucoid strains. Many bacteria grow on surfaces forming biofilms, but often high dosages of antibiotics cannot clear infectious biofilms. Many bacteria can form aggregates on interfaces, called biofilms, where they are much more protected against toxic agents such as antibiotics or antibodies. Excessive and indiscriminate use of antibiotics to treat bacterial infections has led to the emergence of multiple drug-resistant strains. It has been discovered that bacteria present within the QS-medicated biofilm are up to 1,000 times more resistant to antibiotics than the planktonic free-floating forms. The myth: antibiotics inhibit the growth of microbes and may even kill it. Bacteria can switch between planktonic forms, single cells, and biofilms, as in bacterial communities growing on solid surfaces and embedded in a matrix of extracellular polymeric substance. Biofilm formation by pathogenic bacteria often results in lower susceptibility to antibiotic treatments and in the development of chronic infections. Bacterial biofilms are highly recalcitrant to antibiotic treatment, which holds serious consequences for therapy of infections that involve biofilms. Induced resistance factors include those resulting from the induction by the antimicrobial agent itself, the antibiotic. Biofilm antibiotic resistance is likely manifested in an intricate mixture of innate and induced mechanisms. Many researchers are currently trying to overcome this extreme biofilm antibiotic resistance. Formation of these sessile biofilm communities and their inherent resistance to antimicrobial agents, antibiotics, are at the root of many persistent and chronic bacterial infections. Bacterial populations produce a small number of dormant persister cells that exhibit multi-drug tolerance. All resistance mechanisms do essentially the same thing: prevent the antibiotic from hitting a target. Biofilms are resistant to antibiotics, disinfectives, and phagocytosis, microphages' mechanism for killing invader cells. But hey, let's use antibiotics. They seem to work well. They definitely have science on their side. If I could use emojis in this book, I'd throw up a sarcastic smiley face and a thumbs up. I could go on, and quite honestly, sometimes I want to, out of principle, but I'll contain myself. Let's check in and see what my man Albert Einstein said about that mentality. Insanity: doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. But seriously, do you understand antibiotic treatments will fail nearly every time when treating biofilm processing diseases like chronic Lyme? Simply said, antibiotics will fail almost every time when it comes to treating chronic Lyme disease. Wait, what? Antibiotics will fail almost every time when it comes to treating chronic Lyme disease. The persistence of Lyme symptoms is due to the fact that many physicians are incapable of changing their views of reading the latest research. Much of the persistence of Lyme symptoms stem from the very way we are accustomed to treating the disease. This persistence of symptoms in and of itself proves we need another way. Are you beginning to understand why so many individuals suffer from debilitating symptoms of chronic Lyme? Do you understand the need for a different viewpoint, a different way to heal Lyme? So, as you're sitting there getting an IV of multiple potent antibiotics, after ingesting even more, now you know this isn't the best way to treat Lyme at all. Actually, it has little to no scientific backing whatsoever. See above. As I've said numerous times, this book is written for you, the individual suffering from Lyme, to provide you with some education, some answers, and another way, a better way. I want you to remember to ask yourself, is my doctor even capable of treating my Lyme disease? If he or she is using antibiotics for your chronic Lyme, the answer is surely no. More importantly, if your doctor wants primarily to use antibiotics in your treatment of Lyme disease, then he or she isn't experienced in healing the disease. Your doctor isn't using an efficient, scientific, non-damaging, non-time-consuming treatment approach. Honestly, how frustrated would you be if you were a researcher from any of the articles cited above? Obviously, the information and the science exist. As I found those articles within 30 minutes, not an exaggeration. I love researchers. I wanted to be a researcher and developer, which is why I went to school for chemical engineering. I wanted to design drugs. I even told my mom when I was 16 years old, early in my junior year of high school, I'm going to be a chemical engineer and design drugs. I don't understand why they spend billions of dollars on AIDS research if no one can fix it. If you gave me $1 billion and a seemingly unlimited amount of time, I could figure out AIDS. Good thing my mom loves me, because as you can see, I've been annoyed at the inadequacies of the implementation of research since I was 16. Ironically enough, I now specialize in developing programs to detox people off medications. Funny how things work out. But as a 16-year-old, I was ignorant to the inherent laziness of the human population, more specifically, the medical community. Hey, why move if you don't have to? Why change if you don't have to? I'm not going to group everyone in this category, as there are some brilliant physicians and individuals out there who put in the necessary work to help people suffering from chronic disease. I presently work with one. But the truth is, most do not. I wish it weren't true, but it is. As I've stated, I feel your initial physician could have stopped the progression of your symptoms into the debilitating burden they are now. The blame for your progression is given to Lyme, when in reality, your physicians have failed you. The medical community has failed you. As I progressed through college, I realized how, but more importantly, why, physicians were failing individuals on an alarming level. The research needed to make a change existed, yet nothing was happening. Why, I asked myself. Besides obvious restrictions like politics and money, which are immense hurdles, I've concluded that one of the main reasons is that the interpreters of this information, the physicians, don't like to read or do much research at all. And if they do, it's usually from one source. They're often stubborn and don't like being told what to do. I can understand that. Since they don't read, they have stopped interpreting data that is being published by knowledgeable and respectable scientists and researchers worldwide. Or since they don't understand the information, they arrogantly toss it aside as if it was nonsense. What physicians aren't up on, they're down on. It's been said. Hence, my career shift. Hey, I'll read. It's not that difficult. And I must add, I have the benefit of seeing the transformation of our individuals based on my interpretations, which led to important adjustments not only in their treatment protocols, but in my own fundamental conceptualization of healing. Reading, interpreting, and enacting adjustments as needed reinforced my philosophy. Let your body be your best defense system. Let your body be your most efficient and sophisticated healing tool. Our bodies don't want to die either, so let them do what they're designed to do. Survive. If we keep trying to come up with sophisticated solutions to wipe out bacteria, they'll use their innate abilities to survive and leave us continually searching for new mechanisms to kill them. Simply said, there is research showing how ineffective antibiotics are in treating many chronic diseases, such as including chronic Lyme. Yet, this information is often ignored. Let your body be your best defense system, your most efficient and sophisticated healing tool. Our bodies don't want to die either, so let them do what they're designed to do. Survive. Now, if bacteria were resistant just to antibiotics, it might not be that bad. But that's not the case. When you provoke biofilms with an antibiotic attack, they respond. Biofilms and the species within them are much savvier than many realize. As explained previously, when under attack, pathogens do whatever it takes to survive, which includes elaborate survival adaptations. This isn't uncommon for pathogens and bacteria. But what exactly is the result of these adaptations? The most common adaptation is that the biofilm becomes more resistant not only to the strain of antibiotics used, but also to any subsequent treatment, whether antibiotic or not. It's even more interesting to note that studies have shown that these species become more resistant by various mechanisms. But I found this next study to be quite interesting, and it also further supports my philosophy. The study shows that when Escherichia coli, E. coli, one of the most researched bacteria and a biofilm-producing bacteria, was treated with antibiotics, two distinct adaptations occurred. What's even more interesting is researchers used the same stimulus and the same antibiotics and noted two distinct adaptations. This indicates resistance to our attacks is probably encoded within the bacteria's genetic code. The first mutation was the most common. The bacteria simply became more resistant. However, the other was much more intriguing and frightening. The pathogen mutated by stealing a piece of DNA from a leftover virus. The same stimulus, antibiotics, led to two distinct adaptations, both of which prolonged survival and increased resistance to any subsequent treatment. Antibiotics give us a false sense of security, and our indiscriminate use of them has led to adaptive resistance. To summarize, biofilm species, including Lyme, become more resistant from the use of antibiotics. This resistance is seen in multiple complex ways depending on the species within the biofilm. In fact, this massive biofilm resistance to antibiotics has led to research into and the use of biofilm communication disruptors, known as quorum sensing inhibitors, QSIs. Remember, quorum sensing is the way biofilm species communicate. Biofilms have an intricate communication system known as quorum sensing, to which 10% of their genetic code is dedicated. Logic led us to the idea that we should disrupt the communication, thus stopping the biofilm's growth and progression. It surely seemed logical. There's only one thing wrong. Biofilm bacteria have been around for 4.5 billion years. Predictably, the tested bacteria adapted to the QISs and became resistant to them also. Many are advocates for natural medicine, as I am. So you may already be against antibiotics and understand the drawbacks of using them. You may be thinking, yeah, but what about natural medicine studies on biofilm-producing species? Many QSIs are natural herbs and substances, and many are plant-derived. Although I am heavily biased toward natural medicine, it isn't a question of being naturally or pharmaceutically based. This philosophy is rooted in the nature of biofilms themselves, not the tools used. Many value the use of herbs and nutraceuticals to boost immunity in the treatment of Lyme disease. Numerous herbs can break biofilms. Some natural derivatives even trick biofilms into opening their channels to further enhance the effectiveness of eliminating Lyme. Oftentimes, physicians and individuals use enzymes to dissolve biofilms. Some argue many immune-modulating herbs are adaptogenic. They increase resistance to the adverse effects of long-term stress. Many speak of the potency of liposomal herbs and vitamins. All these treatments are great, but not for Lyme, and not for many biofilm-producing species. When it comes to Lyme specifically, it's unnecessary more than 90% of the time. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. An understanding of immune function is crucial, but contrary to what many believe. You don't need to use any immune modulators to restore immune function. If you truly understand immune function, you know that immune modulation occurs naturally in the great majority of individuals if the underlying causes are addressed. More than 80% of our individuals achieve nearly complete immune function restoration in a matter of weeks without ever using immune adaptogens, enhancers, or modulators. Please note, this has nothing to do with the effectiveness of natural medicine versus allopathic mainstream medicine. It has nothing to do with herbs versus pharmaceuticals. This has to do with the nature of biofilms themselves. We've been underestimating their intelligence and innate ability to survive for thousands of years. It's time to wake up and address this problem from a completely different angle. Whether attacked by natural or synthetic means like antibiotics, biofilms adapt. This reaction is part of their foundation. But hey, let's keep trying to kill them. Let's keep trying to kill Lyme. In summary, not only are antibiotics ineffective at eradicating Lyme, but antibiotics make biofilm species, Lyme included, much more resistant to any subsequent therapy. Contrary to what many believe, this isn't a question of natural versus synthetic, herbs versus antibiotics. All therapies underestimate the innate intelligence of biofilms. The resistance and intricacies of biofilms are what dictate the need for another way.